Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello. Steve is not here today. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for him. And I'm here with Chris Williams. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good to be with you today.
Yeah, you too. And Dr. Alice Benton.
I'm just delighted to be here. And folks, we can't wait for your calls. We want to help you today.
And we've got friends in the, not in the studio, but outside watching, the friends of yours.
Henry friends.
And Debbie. Yeah, hi, Henry and Debbie. Thanks for being here. Well, I think before we get going with calls, we're going to talk to Jackie Mac Harris. We have a Fearless Parenting Workshop coming up, and Jackie's going to be one of the presenters there. And there's all kinds of topics, but Jackie, tell us about parenting and why someone might want to go and what you're going to talk about.
Oh, hi, Larry and Alice and Chris, and thanks for the call. Oh, parenting, there's just so much to say about parenting and what we can expect at the conference. We're going to be offering some insight into what it's like to be a parent right now. We're going to hopefully be able to offer some helpful tips that parents will be able to employ right away to make a difference in their home.
Hey, Jackie, tell us why you're qualified to do a workshop like this as a parent.
And I am qualified because I have two amazing daughters who are wonderful grown women right now, and two grandchildren. And I learned a lot of things raising my children, and my children and I talk about what their childhood was like, and so we've been able to overcome some of the things that went on in their childhood so that my daughter is able to do things differently with her children. And that's what we want to share. Oftentimes, we don't slow down and think about what our childhood was like while we're parenting. We're usually looking at that in the second half of life. But my husband and I sat down one day and we were having a conversation and we thought how great it would have been if we knew what we know now when our children were little. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming to hopefully share some of the things that we've learned over the years along the way of parenting our children. I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist. I also work in ministry at our church and have led our children's church ministry almost 20 years. So I've been involved with children, and whether it's in youth group at church or whether it's in parenting my own kids, and we're the home that all the kids came to. We're the family that when a kid got kicked out, my kids would come home and say, "Mom, can they come stay with us?" And I'd work with the parents and get the kids what they needed and get the parents what they needed. And we've just been that that soft landing place for the kids in my kids' circle. I always wanted to be the home that other kids could come to, that they wanted to hang out at, but that was also a safe home.
Jackie, you are so good at recognizing how historical pain impairs current attempts to parent and to love well. And you're both self-aware, but you help other people to see, to make the links. And it kind of takes the pressure off of us when we wonder, why am I failing as a parent? Why can't I get this right? Why don't my kids listen to me? And you help us to see how pain weaves its way into all of that and can be an obstacle or can be a path to great blessing and healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can take that and use it for wellness once we can recognize what that pain has done and how we want to change the future for our families.
So it's a one-day workshop, and it's coming up Saturday, October 2nd. And it's online, it's on Zoom. There's not a reason that you can make up not to be there. So
it's really at our heart and soul. We want to parent well, and it's one of the greatest challenges and privileges. We need help. Sign up for it today, right now. Don't waste time. We all need better parenting. and we need to become better parents.
Well, it helps us when you do too, because we hire counselors to handle the group process. We need to know how many. So sign up today. We'll come back right after this and get going with the show.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. You are listening to New Life Live. Give us a call. We're going to be here 2 hours, 800-229-3000. Chris Williams, Dr. Alice Benton. And I want to mix it up a little bit and do a little bit of a testimony fundraising appeal right at the top here. And I gave Alice a testimony that I'd like her to read.
And this comes from a mother. And she says, gosh, I can't remember the exact date, but it's been about 20 years now. My son was drinking and doing crack and meth. My husband was acting like nothing was wrong because he didn't know how to deal with him. I'd begun listening to New Life, and at the time you had a rehab in Arizona. I confronted my son and told him that he'd either go to the rehab or we were done with him. After a few days, he chose to go, and he came back a new man. Honestly, I didn't think it would work on the first try because the addiction was so strong. But to this day, he has not touched a drink or any drug. He's married with a daughter that he cherishes. New Life also was a big help to me and my husband when we were having marital problems. We attended your marriage workshop in Texas and learned so much. It's been a pleasure to partner with you, and I'm a witness to how much your ministry does at saving lives and marriages.
Folks, that's why we seek your support. We want to continue to save lives and help marriages. When I say we, it's God's power, the Holy Spirit, but we get to engage in that because God's given us the privilege of this ministry, reaching out and touching people. So a gift of any size, we're going to send you Dave Stoop's book, is the final book he wrote, Living Strong, Finishing Well. And Dave... we could spend the rest of the hour talking about Dave in this book, but I'm not going to do that. So, but give us a gift. Help us out, please. Alice, you were just sharing, well, before we go to call, because there's a few up here on the board, tell us about the exciting thing that happened after one of your last radio shows here.
So, folks, this is something that God did, and he often does when we're humble and we're willing. A family called in, asked for help. God nudged me to connect with them off of the radio later. There was some resistance to receiving help and receiving treatment. After just a brief conversation and some prayer, the family agreed to come to the Intimacy and Marriage New Life Weekend and even to pursue individual therapy. And when we're willing to face the fear, the resistance, whatever it is, take an honest look at ourselves, God will meet us there and he'll give us the courage and the energy to do something about it.
Yeah. How many times have things come easily, and how many times have you had to take a step and do something that a little out of your comfort zone? That's what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
That willingness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Dallas Willard has a comment that grace may be opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort.
Ooh, I like that.
And, you know, for God to meet us in our grace, it usually oftentimes takes a faith step. And my definition of faith is a meaningful risk. We have to take a risk, but once we do that, I found in my life, God meets us every time that we do.
Great, thanks. Let's talk to Michael in Dallas, Texas. Michael listens on the Word, KWRD. So, Michael, how can we help you?
Yeah, can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes.
All right, what do you need from me?
Tell us why you're calling. What's the issue that you're struggling with?
Oh, okay. Well, the issue that I have is my brother just recently passed on July the 28th.
I'm sorry.
He was 40. Thank you. He was 46. So that was my biggest brother. And so he was cremated without the family's consent. He was living with a lady. They weren't married. And when I got to the hospital, she called me and told me he passed. And when I got to the hospital, she's like, oh, he wanted to be cremated. And she just started saying all these people, yeah, they heard him say he wanted to be cremated as well. And we said that we were opposed. Me and my parents said we were opposed to that. And so all of a sudden, my niece came out of nowhere who hasn't been communicating with her father. He had one daughter through another relationship, and she basically blocked the family out of the funeral process and worked with his living girlfriend, and they both cremated him and didn't tell us anything. So I guess I want to know how are we supposed to feel, or how do we know that this is something he even wanted? He never shared it with his family.
Will you tell us, Michael, what had your relationship been like with your brother over the past few years?
It's been okay. I mean, he's been on dialysis for a while or whatever, so he would go several times a week. But, I mean, he was a typical big brother. I think there was a little resentment, if I could just be honest. I think there was a little resentment towards me, and I don't know why. Because sometimes you would talk to him, he would just kind of be moody or this and that.
What was your relationship with his girlfriend like?
I mean, I would see her, like, he invited us to 4th of July. We went out there. He would always invite us. They had bought a house together, like, 3 months before he passed. So they would invite us over the house or whatever. So, I mean, we would speak to her. We didn't have anything against her. But during this process, she's really been, she was just saying, y'all are awful people. Y'all want to bury him. And who wants to be worm food? And, you know, this is y'all final, you know, aggravation to him. And it's like, what are you talking about?
And Michael, if he was cremated and it had not been his wish, then what does that mean to you? And what do you feel the urge to do about it now?
If he had been cremated and he never said that?
Yes.
It would make me feel angry. I mean, I'm already angry, but I just can't believe that, like I say, his daughter...
Michael, your anger is understandable, and I can hear it, and I'm glad you know you already are angry. What is your urge to do because you are angry and you believe his girlfriend is mistreating your family, and maybe even him in his passing? What's your urge to do?
I mean, well, we're a Christian family. Like I said, we didn't want anything from, we don't care about what he had or didn't have. We just wanted the body so we could bury him.
Michael, I want you to try finishing this sentence for me. Because I'm angry with her and she is mistreating us, I want to...
I don't really want to do... I just want her to stop. Because I found out he was cremated on Facebook. She put it on Facebook. She cremated him, and then she said she had him in her shoe closet.
Oh, my goodness. So, Michael, I'm so, so sorry you're experiencing this, because this really is a betrayal, right? And certainly your brother may have requested cremation. I don't know. Like, that's the big thing. There's a question mark around all that.
When I asked people that say that they heard him, I was like, what was his philosophical reason? And they're like, oh, he didn't give one. He just said he wanted
it. Well, the way that your brother did life... And I don't know a whole lot, but the little bit that you've told me, I don't think your brother put a whole lot of consideration into much. He had significant.
No.
he had right. He had significant health problems. He cycled through relationships. Okay, so he was dealing with a lot of internal chaos and frustration within himself, which tells me that you didn't have a depth of relationship with him, because you couldn't. But he's still your brother, and you want in the passing of someone significant to us, which we call grief and loss, is an incredibly significant and important process, and that process has been stolen from you, and you know and you feel that injustice, that you have a special relationship with him that is meaningful to you, unique to you, unique to your family, and his girlfriend has stolen that away from you guys. I just want you to.
She hasn't even called.
That's the betrayal. And I want you to know, as Alice was saying, that's legitimate. That anger is legitimate. But we want to be able to do something constructive if possible, and not destructive with that anger. And so, So what I would want to encourage you, because the grief process is incredibly important that we go through. And unfortunately, I think she's a distraction to the to your process, not a help.
Okay.
So in what you guys are going through, I think that you're dealing with a painful reality, but you take the reality and say, hey, what we can do with what we have right now, what do we want to do with the memorial, with remembering and honoring our brother's and son's life? And how do we want to proceed with this, knowing that there is still this really painful part of it that goes against our wishes and our desires? But the more you focus on her as in resentment and frustration and anger, the more you're away from or taken away from the true work of continue to memorialize, remember, and grieve his loss.
Okay.
Michael, I also want you to notice how on the surface, of course, you're angry with her, and rightly so. But you're also angry that your brother did not choose a healthy lifestyle and he wasn't living out the perhaps Christian beliefs of the family that maybe you were raised with or you're living out. And so your brother rejected you in many ways. And I think that's a deeper hurt than her betrayal, even though that's immensely painful as well. And so pursuing being able to... It was a good guess.
That's why she has a doctor before.
That's right.
I want you to pursue expressing your anger at your brother that he lived life in that way and that you're hurt by him and disappointed.
Thank you. Michael, I want to thank you for calling. Tough subject, a really important thing. A lot of people need to deal with
He needs Stoop's book on forgiveness.
Okay, we'll do that. Forgiving what you never
can't forget.
Yeah. That book's on its way to you. So thanks so much. Let's just jump on to the next call, and that is Renee in Philadelphia. Listens on WFIL. Hello, Renee. How can we help you?
Hi, how you doing? I listen to your program, and I learn a lot. I called, I don't know where to start. I need help in dealing with my sister. We're not talking. She lives in Florida with my mother. She's the oldest. I'm the middle child, and there was sexual abuse in our family by my father, who was not living. So I became a Christian at 18. She has a lot of... My question is, how do I deal with her with post-traumatic stress? Because she's...
Yours or hers?
Found out most of the time.
Is the stress, is the PTSD hers or yours?
Her.
Okay.
Well, I have depression, and I think she triggers things in me that I want to react. For instance, like my mother's in the hospital, and she'll say to me, you're not being supportive. I try to send my mother money when I can, but I think she's looking for to be more emotionally supportive. My mother has... basically, my sister was like either 6 or 8 when it happened with my father, and my mother has pushed all her kids away based a lot. I think my mother deals a lot of guilt, so and I don't know if it happened to me.
So Renee,
I think my sister tried to protect me. My question is how do I deal with my sister, because she's not getting the counseling she needs, and
okay.
I
absolutely.
Just can't deal with it.
So Renee, I think that the first direction is you deal with yourself. You know, when we grow up in families that have sexual abuse, our identity, kind of what I call our core, gets gutted. And everything becomes unsafe. With the person that was supposed to keep us safe is the biggest threat, the world gets flipped upside down. And then the children feel like they have to be in control. And when children are in control, everything's out of control, especially on the inside. And so we got to first go to work on ourselves, get ourselves back, get our own identity back, get into addressing our own hurts and wounds and pains. And when we can better connect to ourselves, then we can better connect to the people around us. And then we can better understand there's things with your sister that you are powerless against that you'll probably need boundaries and maybe some things you can connect around.
Renee, you hear the music. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll finish up and help you out here a little bit. So hold the line. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll be back in a minute.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Renee. And Chris was just kind of wrapping it up, helping us understand where to go from here. So which one of you want to take it from here?
Well, I'll just say a couple more things, and then definitely want Alice to speak into this. Let me just say this, because this is, Renee, this is for you. This is for those of us out there listening who grew up in abusive homes, who have experienced sexual abuse. It's a soul injury. It goes down deep to the depth of our core and our identity, and primarily the way we feel safe in the world. Or from the point of being abused forward, if that injury remains unhealed, the way we feel unsafe in the world. So Renee, your sister is still taking care of mom when mom abandoned her in her need for protection and care and healing. And so the world gets flipped upside down when children have to take care of their parents with the parents still harming them. Hmm. And there's this notion of scapegoat. So that pain needs to have a reason, and it turns into oftentimes a scapegoat. So somebody else has to be the problem. Mom and dad can't be the problem, so somebody else has to. So Renee, you just happen to be the problem in the way of your sister's pain. But you have your own pain that I want you to be able to find your own healing and restoration from.
Renee, I think whether or not you're aware of it, you also have a righteous anger that the members of your family have probably not sought much help or gotten really honest about what happened to all of you. Mm-hmm. And so if your mother and your sister are still ignoring that, but they have expectations of you to take care of them, there must be so much conflict swirling inside of you because of it. And so I think the practical steps are identifying and expressing that anger with a safe person, probably not your mom or your sister. I don't think they can handle it. I don't think they can see it. And then it's finding out, how does your sister want you to be supportive of them? And then you decide with your limited resources whether you are or are not willing, or whether you can compromise to try to meet your sister's needs, your mom's needs. But remember that God wants us to be generous, free givers. And so when we're stopped by justified resentment, our giving becomes sick. And so we've got to do the soul work to get that cleaned up so that we can be freed up to give. Your sister's not talking to you. Mm-hmm. And so communicating some of this to her, what do you need from me? I haven't met your needs in the past. What are they? Might be by writing. And then you decide whether you can or cannot do what she's asking of you.
Renee, thank you. It's a difficult situation. And the book, Chris reminded us, that would really help is Changes That Heal, mm-hmm, by Henry Cloud.
Yeah.
It's a powerful book. It's been in print for, gee whiz, 20, 30 years now.
Yeah.
So it's a great book, and that'll be coming your way. I want to thank you for the call. Okay, we are going to Serena in San Diego. Serena, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm having a really difficult time right now. My question is, if I tell my husband, or how do I tell my husband that I slept with somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sister, we're so glad that you called.
Mm-hmm.
We are so glad that you called, and you're being very brave by coming on and confessing this.
Amen.
And God is right here with us in this call. So you're asking, how do you tell your husband that you were unfaithful to him? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
So, Serena, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to reach out to a counselor, a therapist, who specializes in infidelity or betrayal trauma. Okay?
Okay.
And I want you to see the therapist first, because what they'll help you do is, one, they'll help you understand how this happened. It's kind of like a CSI, if I can put it like that, crime scene investigation, to help you, again, walk through, even though it's painful, to walk through how this happened, how it's affecting you and impacting you today. And then being able to have a disclosure with your husband in a safer environment where he can also receive the support that he'll need to walk through this as well.
How long ago was the infidelity?
Like 7 or 8 years ago.
So Serena, as Alice was saying, thank God you are coming to this realization, because that amount of guilt and shame and self-resentment just eats away at the soul, eats away at the heart. And so although it's incredibly painful, we want you, and we tell our guys right before AMB, hey, this is going to be a terrifying grace. It's terrifying to confront this, but you will experience healing and grace by being able to get it out into the light and start working through this.
Serena, do you know that I was emotionally unfaithful to my husband? That I was connecting with men on social media, and I was getting comfort from them and attention from them? It is a horrible, weighty secret, sister, that we carry when we step outside of our marriages for comfort. And there's a reason why. There's a lot of pain underneath it. But you are doing the right thing and disclosing to your husband with guidance, with structure. It will serve your family no matter how he reacts, and God will honor your willingness to do that.
Serena, thank you. What?
I think worthy of her trust, Serena, which is written for a husband, but everything applies to you as well.
Yeah, that book will be coming your way, Serena. Thank you for calling, and thank you for the bravery that you, the courage to self-disclose like this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back, and we're here another hour after this hour. And give us a call at 800-229-3000, and Chris and Alice will solve any problem you have today.
In 3 minutes or less.
There you go.
Or point you to a person who could.
There you go. There was another thought about... Well, we're talking about Serena.
And what dark secrets do to our faith.
Yeah. You know, because what those dark secrets do is they provide a avenue, a doorway for the evil one to come in and start questioning our faith, start questioning God's love for us or our love for God, or are we really Christians? And really turns us into what I call a moral machine. It's like where we're pulling levers to either be good or bad. Where God says, hey, when love comes in, we put childish ways of good and bad behind, and we move into a greater sense of righteousness, which is grace. And grace is not permission to be stuck in our sin. Grace is illumination of our sin that motivates us to grow and heal and develop into becoming the people that God wants us to be. But secrets keep us stuck and mm-hmm. trapped in these places. So again, it's difficult to confront the secrets. But especially when I'm working with Christian leaders that don't feel like they have a safe place to go into those dark spots, it's so important that we do, because our secrets will find us, and they'll find us out eventually. And so we just got to keep providing a safe place for people to address those and experience the love and transformation that God wants in our lives.
It's shockingly freeing to confess our ugliest sins. And yeah. I've had some shameful, embarrassing yes. sins. And when I bring them to a safe group of women, mm-hmm. most of them say, oh, me too, actually. I never wanted to say that out loud. But yeah, I yeah. thought that too. I did that too.
Yeah.
And we find that there's no sin that's uncommon to mankind. We're not alone in it. And God wants to remove the burden.
I like to think of myself as an especially gifted sinner.
I am.
But when I, again, to that point, when I found myself in the rooms of recovery, I realized that I have a specific and yet common sin, but it needs to be addressed. It has to be looked at, healed, and then also we have to grow in our righteousness to, again, become safer, more fruitful people that God desires all of us humans to be.
You know, you talked about the dark side, but I was just thinking about doubt. Maybe not so dark is what Serena is facing, but the doubt. And recently, I think it was in a church service, a pastor was saying that even when Christ ascended, finally, after he resurrected and then he ascended, at the point of ascension, it says in Scripture that some doubted. Some of the mm-hmm. 11 that were left yeah. still doubted. But what did he do? He sent those 11 out. Mm-hmm. Even with their doubt, they had to yeah. go out.
Well, and I think Thomas gets a bad rap, you know,
yeah,
doubting Thomas.
That's
but
right.
I'll tell you what. Thomas got to touch the wounds of Jesus.
Yeah.
He, in his doubt, he didn't stop pursuing.
Yep.
We can doubt, but just don't stop pursuing.
Okay, we're going to another call, but first a reminder. When you shop on Amazon, please use smile.amazon.com. Has the same product as Amazon.com, but if you designate New Life Ministries as your charity, a tiny bit of money comes to us, but when it's accumulated, we just received a $1,200 check from Amazon over the last quarter. So we've had over $17,000 over the last few years getting money from Amazon because
that's
you
fantastic.
Folks list us as your charity of choice.
I keep forgetting to do that, so thanks for the reminder, and all the rest of you that are forgetting with
Next
me.
Next break, we're going on that phone. We're going to do it. Okay. Let's go talk to Carolyn. Carolyn's in Washington, D.C. She's one of our WAVA listeners. Hello, Carolyn. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your ministry gift. Oh. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I'm calling about, my siblings and I want to know how to approach one of my sisters about her behavior.
What's her behavior that needs to be addressed?
Well, she has no confidence in authority or the doctors. And we went to see her, at Labor Day. And I don't know what happened before Labor Day, but she had acted really ugly and to them. And when we got there, she was bashing them, telling them they didn't know how to raise children. You know, they didn't know what they were talking about. And, you know, just saying all kinds of things. But we don't know how to help. So we just sat and listened. When we don't know what to say to her.
What was her issue that she needed medical help with?
She stopped going to doctors. She has high blood pressure. And I don't know what else. But they did get her to go to one because she had no medicine. And she had to say that she would start coming to that doctor so that they could prescribe her medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that once, She hasn't done it yet again.
So she won't follow up with her medical care, and the family's concerned about her physical health as well?
Yes.
And who was she bashing?
The thing is, my sisters and brother. And she works on the psych ward. So she knows, and so she says she knows all the tricks of the trade, and she knows when the doctor says something that he means something else, and you know, and so she just doesn't listen to anything they say.
Yeah,
and she doesn't listen to anything we say. You know, so we don't know how to help her. She did have a daughter. She has a son.
Well, Caroline, let me jump in really quickly. When it comes to your sister, what are you afraid of?
I don't know, that she'll be committed to a hospital.
Okay, now I want you to feel your body when you said that. Notice the sadness that came up within you.
Yeah.
That's what your sister needs to feel from you. Because usually when we feel someone confront us from a place of anger that feels like control, our defenses automatically raise up and our ears shut and our ears shut down. So we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about God's righteousness. But to break that down, it's like, well, we come in deep concern and love and honesty, we have a better chance of the ears staying open long enough to hear our concern, hear our hearts. It's really scary because you can't control whether she receives it well or not, but we want to give the best opportunity for the reception to happen, for her to hear it.
Right.
So we want to set the table up for a good meal, not a bitter meal, a sweet meal. And so she's more apt to enjoy a sweet meal than a bitter meal.
Okay. Can I tell you when this happened? Because she wasn't like that always.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a line. Under stress, we digress. Okay. So your sister works in a very, very challenging and difficult field and area. Her high blood pressure is an indication that she has been carrying way too much cortisol running through her veins under stress and duress. And she needs relief. She needs to find ways to de-stress her life.
Okay.
And take some time for herself to figure out what's going on. And man, find some care for that sweet soul that she has.
Carolyn, she might feel bashed by her siblings, who have, with good motivation, been trying to get her to a doctor when she's taken a firm stand against it for now. And she's got a lot of insider information. She's got reason to doubt the medical field. She's got reason to doubt medication. She's afraid, too. She's probably terrified and very overwhelmed. And so when the siblings have addressed their concern, I bet it has felt like nagging to her. And the Holy Spirit works so much better through our silence than he does through our repetition of something that somebody else should be doing. Even though we're right, we're right. So Matthew 18 says to address it in person, one to another, bring a witness if needed, and then if they still won't change, to back off of that issue and to set boundaries if necessary to protect our heart. So I want you to stop reminding her of what she already knows she should be doing and seek out her heart and how overwhelmed and afraid she is. I think you'll be surprised to see how God's grace works through that.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, thanks for the call. We'll pray for you and your sister and that relationship, and just that things work out so that God's once again honored and glorified with that.
And copy of Take Your Life Back.
There you go. That's on the way to you. Thank you so much. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're going to take another call, but first I want to mention you guys that are thinking about Every Man's Battle Workshop coming up Where's that coming up? All of a sudden I forgot. It's on here. It's on here. Brain fade.
Here we go. Every Man's Battle, October 8th. Atlanta. Yeah, in Atlanta.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about that, if you sign up by this Friday, you can save $200. That's an early bird special. So I want to really encourage you to do that.
Hey guys, listen. I want you to hear this from me. I said earlier, under stress, we digress. And what happens is we tend to, all of us, go to poor coping mechanisms that end up taking us into bondage. If you've struggled in this area and you've found that your coping mechanism of sexual acting out or pornography or just trying to ease the and relieve yourself through this device and knowing that you are in a dark hole, let's address it. There's a way out. Don't waste time with this. Do it now. Whether you've been stuck in it for a few months or whether you've been stuck in it for a few decades, now is the time to deal with it.
Take courage from Serena's call, guys. Yeah. Let's be brave like she was.
And ladies, if you think your husband might need this, be brave and call us first. Confront him. We get guys coming to this workshop that have no interest in being there. They're there to check off a box. And they have a Holy Spirit moment. So,
and let me say one quick thing. Sometimes we're just like, well, we want the person struggling to be motivated. And I found in my practice that I don't care what the motivation is.
Bingo.
Get them in the office.
Bingo. Yep. And we're going to be here another hour. Call 800-229-3000. There's still time to get you in here the next hour. So let's go and talk to Pamela. Pamela listens on a podcast. She lives up in Washington State. Hello. How can we help you, Pamela?
Hi, everyone. can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a question, and I guess I just want some tips on how to deal with my situation.
Okay, tell us.
I listened to your podcast about blended families.
Good.
And I've just gotten married last month, and I have a stepdaughter that just turned 12. Mm. And I already have grown children. I was married for 26 years, and my husband passed away. But I remarried after 5 years. And my stepdaughter has been through a lot of trauma, and the way she was raised and the way I raised my children are almost opposite, and she's angry a lot, and she says very mean things to me, even though her father tries to say, you know, you need to stop, you need to calm down, and I'm just not used to dealing with kids that disrespect in that way, and I really don't know what to do. And I'm 52 years old. I have my first grandson, and I thought I had this. I was an FFA leader, a 4-H leader. Kids usually really like me.
So how painful to try to love this stepdaughter who is pushing you hard, and it's very tough to know what to do. And of course there needs to be boundaries around her disrespect, but there also needs to be an entry into her anger, because she's got some righteous anger going on because her dad left her mom and who knows what else happened, or could be vice versa. And so I want you and your husband, it'd be best if he takes the lead at a moment when she is not disrespecting you, to come in and to say gently, kindly, you have so many reasons to be angry about what the adults are doing to your life, and we want to sit and listen. You're probably angry about us getting married, and it's not fair to you that your dad married somebody who's not your mom, and we want to listen to what that's like for you.
Yeah. Yes.
What did you feel as I role played that for you?
I felt empathy for her, because I do feel bad that their marriage ended that way. I've never had to deal with that, so I can't imagine my children having to go through that.
Yeah. And Pamela, I want you to be able to tell her that her words do impact you, that they hurt. And it's okay to let her know that they hurt, and you don't want to hurt, but you also know that she is hurting on the inside. And
yeah.
And that, like you said it well, well, Alice led you into that place of empathy. But it's also got to be safe. So you have to play the long game here. You're in the way of her anger, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that, like, she's just really angry and you just happen to be available. And so...
Yes.
And so what you want to be able to do is, again, as Alice said, be able to set boundaries around that. You know, the disrespect, the hurtful words. The boundary isn't just for you, but it's for her as well. That when you treat people poorly, bad consequences happen. But now it's helping her find ways to express her fears, her hurts, her angers, her resentments. And I think that getting into good family counseling would be very, very helpful.
Let her know, too, that you're not trying to be her mother.
Yeah, that's good.
I love Steve's approach. He says he doesn't even call them stepkids, his bonus boys. He says, I'm a bonus dad.
Yes.
And let your husband take the lead on all the discipline. And it's good to hear he is standing up for you when she's disrespectful. That's real positive.
I would adjust your husband's words a little bit, because when we tell a kid, you can't do that, that phrase doesn't work well. So in a moment of calm, when we can say instead, when you use these disrespectful words, this is what we are going to do as parents. These are the restrictions that will take place if you choose to talk to us in that way. But we are available to hear your upset and your anger when you can speak to us in a respectful way. We want to hear it.
I hope some of these tips have helped.
And Pamela, let me remind you, October 2nd, it a priority.
Thank you.
Okay? Though each situation, including blended families, but even intact families, every situation's unique, but there's principles that help us.
What's happening on October 2nd.
And so, October 2nd, Fearless Parenting. Preparing for the teen years. It's a new workshop. It's
that we designed just for you, Pamela.
Exactly. Alice is going to speak directly to you in your situation during that workshop. But really, make it a priority. Make it happen. Parents out there, Fearless Parenting, October 2nd. And when we parent better, we are parenting better adults, not just better children. Mm-hmm. I always say this, I'm raising two boys, but I'm raising two adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Young, you're raising two young men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Pamela, for your call. It was a good way to end this program. I want to remind everybody, we're here another hour. Give us a call at 800-229-3000. And like I said earlier, Chris and Alice will solve any problem that you might have. Written guarantee by the two of them. So,
And let's also send Pamela healing as a choice.
Okay.
That helps her daughter, her stepdaughter, guide through that process of healing.
Beautiful. We will do that. Thank you. We love what we do here. I have a scripture that is one of my favorites. It comes from Lamentations. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Steadfast love of God never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Believe it. Have hope. We love you. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.